hear anything.
Are we up? And we're up. Here we go. Boy, this is a hectic first day here at Radio Row. Christopher David Sims live in the flesh. I made the mistake of doing some stuff over there. Once you get in. Oh, we got some nice scenics here.
Come on, Mike.
Some direction.
Host the show,
the
Mike.
Boss is
we're
here
at the Super
actually,
Bowl. Nobody
look,
cares about your
look,
prior
there's
day.
There's buildings and there's sun and there's stuff and there's you.
There
we
am.
Go. They expect me to approach this
be
like
a
I'm a professional.
They expect you to be a
I can't
host,
hear.
You
I'm hearing
hear?
Too much. No, I can hear. I'm hearing more than I should.
Yeah.
So we don't need to hear anything. We're here. We don't need to hear when we're here. It's Super Bowl 57, and we are here, H-E-R-E, for the whole week. And we will be hearing H-E-A-R, all sorts of great stuff. Great to see you.
Great
together,
to see you.
In
we're
person.
Here.
We did it last year. We were in a different spot, though. We were at the NFL Experience, so we were kind of like we were sequestered. Now we're in it. And one thing I noticed about today, first day here, Monday is usually kind of a ghost town.
Yeah.
At Radio Row.
Right.
And it's not
a little
really
more
radio
action.
Anymore. It's TV and everything. It, yeah. it feels like it feels more alive on a Monday than it ever
I
has.
I would agree with that as well. I even was just surprised at how busy the airport was on a Sunday night last night when I got into town. And then just, listen, the look of Radio Row, I know you can't see it all from behind us, but, you know, like you said, the action, and then I don't know the establishment or the sports casinos. You know, you see their sets around. That's new to me. All right, I mean, just for people at home, they're going, hey, you know, what's it like to be at Radio Row? It is a little different because there's DraftKings and everybody else that's around here as well with some pretty cool setups as well, and we haven't really seen that at Super Bowl Radio Row to this extent.
Well, that's right. I mean, to the extent that the sports books have infiltrated,
yeah.
and they have. They
right.
have. And when you are paying significant money to the NFL, that's how you infiltrate, and that's what they're doing. And they are everywhere, and it does add to the overall vibe. And it just feels brighter.
Yeah.
It feels it's not just the tables with the radio stations and the backdrops anymore. It's more stuff like this, nice sets, nice locations. And we're going to be here all week. We're going to have a lot of nice guests throughout the course of the week. The list is always changing. How was your trip out?
It was good. It was. I can't complain.
You live
smooth.
In one of those cities where there's direct
flights. It's
not
hard, right.
I had to,
right. I got
to go
out of JFK,
Dallas.
Which is a little bit of a far drive for me, but it was a direct flight. Went smooth. We got to cut Matthew Berry's mic. We got to cut his mic. I can hear him in my ear.
That's why
you took yours out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the regardless, it went smooth. Okay, and as the opening of the show is not going smooth, and I'm all frazzled.
Any stray hamburgers on the ground at JFK?
No,
I don't know
how.
Like, would you eat? Would you be more inclined or less inclined to eat a hamburger that you drop on the floor at JFK or LaGuardia?
Well, LaGuardia is getting pretty nice right now. I think
it depends on what part of LaGuardia.
I have to revisit that. It depends on what part of JFK, too. The other, all right, so here's one event that happened during my weekend. I want to hear your take on this, all right? I'll give you a little inside the Sims life here. Saturday, going to the Whole Foods, right? I want to hear your take on this. I'm with my wife, my kids. We went to the dog park, okay? We're going, it's 5:30 on a Saturday. I'm going to get a steak so we can have a good family dinner. There's a Tesla in front of me. There's spots everywhere, right? There's 100 spots. The guy is pulling into a spot, I thought, and then I pulled into the spot behind him, right? He then, I guess, gets out of the car, and I'm about to get out of the car, and I see in the rearview mirror, there's a Tesla, like, right behind me. He knocks on my door, hey, a-hole. And I was like, ooh.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, what? And he's like, you're some a-hole, he said. You stole my... And I was like... I was like, do you want me to pull the car out? You know, I said, there's 100 spots here. Nobody was trying to steal your spot, buddy. So then I had to walk into Whole Foods with him. And, you know, I gave him the business.
So, wait, was he bigger than you? There's no way he was bigger than you.
No, he was
there's
not
no
bigger
way his
than
head
was
as big
older
as
than
yours.
You. Right, he was
he's older,
older
than me.
No, he was like, he was probably about 51, 50.
Okay.
Right.
So,
and then
so,
he handled it like a child, where I was like, just apologize. Like, there were spots everywhere. No one was trying to steal your spot at 5:30. I go, you call me an asshole. All right, I got kids and the dog in the car. Like, well, that was not necessary. And I had some old lady came over and calmed me down.
Was there ever a point where you thought you were going to have to throw?
No, but, like, he kind of, like, as I was walking in the store, like, kind of, like, got in my way. Like he was going to bump me. And I was like, please bump me. So I walked right over him. and I stepped on his shoe and he got mad and I was just like, oh, screw you.
That would have really been something if I had gotten a phone call at some point on Saturday night that I'm going to be solo on Monday because Chris is in jail.
So I figured I'd tell you that.
That would have been great.
That was, and you know, I mean, I drive a Tesla as well. But that guy was like the epitome of the douche that's in a Tesla, okay? What a jerk, all right? So there we go. Welcome
and you're not,
to Super Bowl.
Just to be clear,
well,
you're not.
I wasn't trying to be. I apologized. I said I'd move my car out of the spot. I was like, again, like I said, there were spots everywhere. It wouldn't be one of those incidents where you go, wait, this guy is going to pull into this. There's spots everywhere. He could have drove right through the spot in front of him and, you know, been able to pull out that way. Either way, whatever. That's it. That was
regardless,
the story
the show
of the weekend.
Is PFT Live. We're here all week long, Super Bowl 57 Phoenix. And we're live on Peacock, 1 to 3 Eastern. We're live Monday through Friday. The show re-airs 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday through Friday. We're live on Sky. You got to watch your language.
Oh, that's right.
They can't bleep us as effectively.
Sorry, Sky.
Not that they even do when they have 5 hours
London.
To go through and bleep. So we are live on Sky Sports NFL and SiriusXM 85, which I think I mentioned, plus podcast, wherever and however you get your podcast. It is going to be a fun week. It's going to be a great week. Let me tell you this. I had a minor travel incident.
Oh, did you?
And I don't know how common or uncommon this is, but flew through Dallas, which is fine. It's fine. I don't mind. Connecting flight. I get it. The only flight direct from Pittsburgh to Phoenix was at like 5 a.m. So I'll take the connector. Dallas to Phoenix. Smooth. Whole flight. Nothing. No turbulence. No chop. You ever had those moments on a plane where you just wonder, is it even moving? Is it even in the sky? Like it feels like you're just sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's how the flight was. So it's time to land. Coming in for a landing. As we're coming in for the landing.
I heard.
As we're coming in for the landing. Straight back up. And I mean, it was aggressive straight back up.
Right.
And
man, that's scary.
And
did you go knock on the door and go, just take me back home? No. I don't want to go anymore.
So you know what happens in a moment like that? Everybody's just kind of quiet.
Right.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And my wife's just kind of sitting there. And eventually she says, Are you nervous?
Okay?
Are you nervous? Yeah. It's like, yes. Are you? And then like 5 minutes later, the pilot comes on and says that the plane that landed in front of us had not cleared the runway, which I'll take the roller coaster experience over rear-ending a plane. Yeah,
sure,
that's good.
Sure, yeah.
My theory is the landing gear didn't go down.
Oh,
that's
geez.
My theory. Because I always listen for that rumble, and the rumble hadn't happened.
Right.
And so I remember as we're going down, I'm thinking, I don't think I heard that rumble, that sustained when you know. And so I thought, well, maybe that's it. Maybe they're figuring out what the hell we're going to do and how we're going to land this plane. But then we're coming in, I heard the rumble. I heard the landing gear finally go down.
Right.
If that was the issue, I don't know. The engines and the landing gear are the two most important parts of the plane.
Pretty much,
once you accept the fact that it's aerodynamically sound, you need the engine to get it up and you need the landing gear to make sure, you know, it lands.
Of all the people to be on a flight when that happens, it was Mike Florio.
I was fine. Once the pilot came on, and I could tell it was a very reassuring voice.
Right.
You know, he wasn't
panic.
As frazzled as we were at the top of the show.
Right.
So I submitted at that point and accepted the fact that I wasn't going to die last night.
Wow.
If not,
all right. I'm proud of you, man. I really am. Look at you.
Once you're in and once you're strapped in, you got no choice. You have to submit to the plane.
The plane
calls the shots that point.
Well, I guess we'll know if you weren't scarred by it if you're at next year's Super Bowl. That's what we'll have to wait.
Or if I'm walking home. I get an Uber back to West Virginia? Would that be possible? Okay. So, but you know, it's funny how you come to a place for a Super Bowl after you've been here before. I was here 8 years ago. You weren't here.
I was not here, though.
So there's familiarity, but it's different.
Right.
Like, this is the same, but it's different. And the being here, it's you don't come here enough to really have the feel for it, but it does feel like a big deal. You see the Super Bowl 57 stuff everywhere. The teams are already here. The Chiefs arrived yesterday.
Yeah.
The Eagles arrived yesterday.
Back to normal.
I want to find out why when they land, like the rest of us has to use the jetway instead of walking down the steps.
Yeah.
Like, is that ceremonial? Like, does it look better on, I guess it looks better on TV walking down the stairs instead of coming out the door.
Well,
coming out the door doesn't look as good as that.
I think there's a reason though, because there's so much equipment and stuff that's loaded onto the buses right away. And then the buses are right there too. I would think it's more the equipment and things like that.
They are getting on the buses.
There you go. And plus, yes, the look is
much
better.
It does look good. It does look great. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you know it's like a big-time event. Exactly.
That's right.
It's presidential. Right. You look at the players are even, like, filming themselves. They're like, look, we're on the tarmac. Look at this. Yeah, so I love that the teams are here all week. They're practicing. It's great being here.
I wonder if either of those planes had to abort a landing yesterday. Probably not.
No, I bet you not.
Wouldn't it be something if the Chiefs plane had to abort the landing because the Eagles plane had not fully cleared the runway? That would be something. And it's still better than the alternative.
Yes.
I am glad that they're sufficiently safety conscious that they're not going to run one plane on top of the other.
Look at Mahomes and Kelce.
Mahomes is ready to go. They're ready to go.
Of course they are.
And it's... We're going to have all week to talk about this, but these are two great teams, the two best teams in the NFL.
Yep.
I know the 49ers can make the argument they're in that conversation,
sure.
But if you lose your quarterback on the first drive of the game,
yeah.
What can you
really
do?
You're not anymore.
You're not anymore.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So the Chiefs, many didn't expect to be here. I picked Chiefs-Packers, so at least I'm half not crazy.
Yeah,
I thought all along, and the Chiefs and the Packers were the two teams that were at the center of the discussion of how do you continue with your offense when you have traded away your best receiver.
Yeah.
And we were more worried about the Packers without Devontae Adams
right.
than we were the Chiefs without
right.
Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And for the Chiefs, and really for both teams, it came to fruition. I don't know why the hell I picked the Packers to get to the Super Bowl. I thought they'd figure it out.
Yeah.
But with the Chiefs, no Tyreek Hill, it doesn't matter. All those guys injured, it doesn't matter. As the season unfolds, as the AFC Championship unfolded. Guys went down, but because Patrick Mahomes is committed to having the camaraderie, the
adjustments
feel,
to his
everything,
game, everything.
The trust,
right, right.
They know each other well.
That's right.
He was there for the offseason program.
Exactly.
When maybe another quarterback who was breaking in some new receivers wasn't.
Yeah, the one that's not here.
Yeah. And you got to give credit to Brett Veach, the guy who was the architect of getting together all of the folks who are there. Replacing Tyreek Hill and making the thing go.
I don't think we're making a big enough deal, and I don't mean you and me as a national media, but how special we're seeing a run here at the Patriots. See, I think we've all been a little spoiled because of what, I mean, the Chiefs, by what the, I mean, this is 5 years in a row that there's one team in the AFC that we go, well, we think they're going to be in the final two of the AFC, if not in the Super Bowl, if not holding the trophy up. It's a special run. You know, I think we are spoiled because of what the Patriots did, so we're a little numb to what we're seeing right now here from the greatness of the Chiefs. And then they're doing it their own way, a different way. You know, it's a little more sexy. Maybe not exactly the most tried and true perfect formula like New England. But, you know, I think you said a lot of things. I think you and I were one of those that was going, wait, you don't think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense and Andy Reid are going to be okay without Tyreek Hill? I didn't even understand the conversation. You know, all of a sudden Mahomes was looked at as like, oh, he needed Tyreek Hill. None of the stats without Tyreek Hill bared that out. And of course, again, where another thing I'll just say I think is being underestimated here is the greatness of Patrick Mahomes in totality already in the history of the NFL. He is already an all-time great. It's year five. It doesn't matter. He is an all-time first ballot Mike Florio article from the weekend in his own wing in the Hall of Fame with the other guys. Already, in my opinion, he's truly that special. That's why I think we're seeing a special run. And then you said it, Andy Reid and Veach and what they're doing to continue to sustain it is also amazing as well.
I was doing that exercise with Tom Curran earlier today of NBC Sports Boston. Mahomes versus, at their best,
yeah, sure,
all-time greats.
Yeah.
Favre, give me Mahomes. Montana, give me Mahomes. Elway, give me Mahomes. I mean, we've seen the throwing ability, the running ability, the brain,
the clutchness,
the personality,
right.
just that will.
The grit,
will that
right.
we saw last week
in
the AFC Championship.
Right.
And also against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
But that nothing is going to keep me out of this game. Nothing's going to keep me from doing what I need to do to carry this team. Yeah, he checks all the boxes. The question now is longevity and championships.
Sure.
And the thing about Mahomes, if he truly wants to get into the conversation with Brady,
right,
you can't blow this chance to get
no.
to number two.
No.
This is, you already had your chance to get to number two,
right,
and to keep Tom from getting to seven.
Right.
So the gap went
yeah.
from five to six.
Right.
Now you narrow it back down to five by getting this one. If you don't get this one, because when are you going to be back in? I think he's 27, 28 years old.
Yeah.
Like, pretty soon we're going to be getting to the point where how many years does he have left?
Yeah.
I mean, before you know it. I mean, the years go by quickly.
Yes.
And he's going to be 10 years in before we know it. How many championships will he have then? How many more is he going to need to be up there with Brady?
Right.
And that's why I'm telling you, I'm already leaning toward the Chiefs because of the urgency that I think Mahomes is going to have to get to number two.
Yeah.
Because you can't get to here. I'm not good at math, but I will say this. You can't get to three until you get to two.
He
wants to get to three
and
to four and to five. He's got to get to two this week.
Yeah, I agreed with you there. I don't know if he's ever going to catch Brady. But, you know, again, just to, you know, again, you don't know how many chances you're going to get to be here, like you're saying. And he's in a conference that we know right now is going to be a lot harder to get back to the Super Bowl. The conference with those quarterbacks and what they got right now, I don't think it's going to be a given that we can just sit here year after year with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and everybody else that's in the AFC right now competing, trying to get, you know, a spot at the Super Bowl. But regardless, this is a special run. And I do agree with you, and that's one thing that definitely jumps out to me about the football game. You know, we hit on this a little last week. The Eagles, I think from top to bottom, are better than the Chiefs. But not so much that you think, a play here or handling the pressure, you know, of the moment or just Patrick Mahomes being one of the greatest players ever in the history of the sport, it evens the scales to where you go, I don't know, I don't give a crap what the sports books say. It's an even pick'em type of football game that way. And here's another thing, Mike, let me just hear if you agree with this. You know, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs have a little fire, pot poker in their butt because they realize the legacy that's at stake here, Mahomes, Reed, Kelsey. Also, I gotta be truthful in the fact that I'd be a little concerned if I'm an Eagles fan or an Eagles player and go, damn, like, we haven't really had to play a complete game or play our A game or, you know, even play anything competitive the last 5, 6, 7 weeks of the year. That would worry me. You know, I went through that a few times as a player, not that I was ever on a team like the Eagles, but points where you go, man, we're winning, but we're not really playing our best. And, if one team catches us on the wrong day, we're going to be in trouble here. And that worries me is all I'm saying.
Yeah, 69-14 combined score of the two playoff games.
They didn't have to play.
But that's right. It was easy and it was quick and it was a steamroller over the Giants.
Right.
And then the Brock Purdy injury on the opening drive of the NFC Championship. It's not like the 85 Bears.
No, it wasn't like a dominant
throttling.
Just kicking your butt. Right. Yeah. You felt like it was other circumstances that led to the blowouts, let alone, as we talked about all year, the NFC was not, I don't know, what was it, week 5 when you and I were sitting going, wait, the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Cowboys are in a different class than the rest of the conference. We knew that. We knew that. The Giants, we kept going. Man, how can they can they continue to sustain this? They are not even in the same class as the Chiefs or the Eagles as far as talent on the football field. So that would worry me about the Eagles, the fact that, hey, you kind of had the number one seed locked up towards the end of the year. You had the Jalen Hurts injury. You know, then the playoffs were kind of two stinkers, and you don't get tested and have to play four-quarter battle-tested playoff football. I'm not saying it's the difference. It's just something that percolates in my brain right now.
And I agree with you completely that dealing with adversity, overcoming obstacles, fighting through, it galvanizes you. It makes you better. It makes you more confident. The experience the Chiefs had against the Bengals will make them more confident, will make them more determined. You don't do justice to what you did to get here if you blow it the next week.
Right.
It creates a greater sense of obligation and confidence that we can go do it. And the Eagles, and I think you're onto something, the Eagles have not really been tested the way the Chiefs have been tested.
Don't worry me.
And the Chiefs have been tested over and over again all year long. And they were doubted. The Eagles were never really doubted. The Eagles were just kind of like a curiosity that took the NFL by storm right out of the gates.
Right.
They've been praised. They've been
It was a given. We looked at the schedule early in the year, and we were like, I don't know when they're going to lose. They look like they can go 10-1, right? We kind of one of the easier schedules in football. I think you're right. There was a lot of things where they were anointed, and they should be. They were. They were a really good football team that we saw. There was no flaws. But, yeah, there was never that moment where we felt like, man, they really fought through some adversity that time of the year, and they came out on top. A little with the Hurts injury, but not to the extent I think you see a lot of like great Super Bowl teams.
And we don't really know, and we won't know how healthy Jalen Hurts is or isn't because they're not going to advertise it. We don't know what percentage he's at, but it's a serious shoulder injury that he's had for a while now, missed some time, playing through it in pain. You hear every once in a while we get a stray comment from Coach Nick Sirianni about how he's doing, and it just gives you that sense that things aren't as great
totally 100%
as they could be.
Right.
And we know about the Mahomes ankle, but we still see him out there moving around on it, doing just enough when he needs to do what he needs to do.
And this is
to
2 weeks. Like, he's going to be moving better in this game, which he'll need to be. But again, you know, we always, you know, that's the other thing too. Hey, the Eagles, this pass rush, it's really good, but damn, this is an O-line that can protect. We saw that in the championship game with a you know, gimpy Patrick Mahomes. That's another area where you go, well, Eagles have usually a great advantage over most teams they play in that department. I don't think they're going to have a great advantage there. You know, there's a lot of great storylines about the game here and what's going on. I think another thing, Mike, that I'm, like, fascinated by, and I know some people have talked about this a little, but do you remember a team in the Super Bowl with this many rookies that are, like, relevant to the football team right now? I know we've had teams where, hey, this rookie, he helps the team in situations. But, like, we're here at a Super Bowl, and I'm going, you know, receivers in Sky Moore, you know, the DBs who are playing, George Karlaftis, a D-end. It just seems like
Isaiah Pacheco.
Isaiah Pacheco, exactly.
One the hard-nosed runners in the NFL right now.
Right.
Like, every time he gets a ball, you expect him to explode for 7 or 8 yards.
It's like beast mode a little bit. He reminds me of Marshawn Lynch when he runs a little. But yeah, I just think that's another aspect. And, two, in the totality of that conversation we're having, the Chiefs, you know, it's 5 year Super Bowl conversation, and they're one of the younger teams in football. That's what's crazy. So,
why I think the legacy conversation for Mahomes becomes compelling, because the pieces around him are going to constantly change.
Right.
He's the kind of guy that is going to embrace that. He's going to he knows it's in his own interest to make those guys comfortable, to get to the level where they all can perform together, to show trust in them. One way you gain trust in someone is to show them that you trust them. Then they do things that, guess what, makes them trustworthy. That's why they were able to keep moving the ball when receivers went down one after another due to injury.
Right.
I just saw Mecole Hardman placed on injured reserve. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be back off of injured reserve for the Super Bowl to add to that underrated backfield of Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon, and now Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the mix. But this is part of the greatness of Mahomes. He embraces all of his teammates. He makes them feel like they're part of the journey. It's one of the reasons why there was no conversation, no possibility with all the injuries, would they even consider Odell Beckham Jr. They're concerned about the camaraderie, the collegiality, the comfort level that they currently have. They don't want to mess that up.
I agree.
And that's organizational. That's Mahomes, but it's also organizational. They've found this moment, and it's a combination of coaching staff, front office, ownership, where, and they'll do it every year, having Mahomes at the center of it, having Andy Reid as the head coach, having Brett Veach as the GM will set it up for it to continue year in and year out with new pieces. They'll find new pieces. They'll develop the new pieces. They know guys are going to leave, but the constant's going to be Mahomes.
Yeah, that's right. You do that. I know we have a quote from Brett Veach that we're going to talk about here in a minute, but yeah, I think you're exactly right. They just look at it and go, you know, with Mahomes, as long as we can just put a, you know, a pretty good team out there, we're in the Super Bowl conversation. And, you know, they flipped their team over in 1 year. And the team went to the AFC Championship game last year. And you look at it and you go, there are so many players that were on that team last year where we thought they were going to the Super Bowl with a 21-3 victory or, you know, over the Bengals at halftime, that are not on their team anymore. You know, I think that's fascinating. And I think it is a lot about, you know, what you're talking about. Veach, Andy Reid, Mahomes, and they have found one thing that they made apparent to me when I was there before the Jaguars game and the day I did the little Andy Reid interview. Their thing, you know, New England might have been about, yeah, we want robots and a certain personality, right? And guys that are just going to do what we tell them to do, and they'll be no different than that. Kansas City is—they're not like that. It's not like that. It's a little bit more of a freewheeling, you know, dynasty they're trying to work on here. And they welcome the personalities. They love the personalities, and they don't really care what you're, you know, like in that personality, as long as there's one thing you love football. If you love football, they'll deal with just about everything else. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing on the field, too. We're seeing a team that you're saying, Mike, it's got great camaraderie. They're together. And they love, because they love football, we always see, and we've talked about this before, they love the big moments. They're just the bigger the moment, the more you feel like, oh, the Chiefs will find a way. They'll figure it out, whatever it is. And I know that's not all the time, but, damn, it seems like it's all the time.
The Tyreek Hill trade.
Yeah.
Really was a catalyst for, right? I think, some of the camaraderie that we're talking about, because at the end of the day, we didn't know there was a problem.
Yeah.
We didn't know there was an issue. He wasn't acting out on the sidelines. I remember every once in a while, I remember there was a game where they cut to commercial and it seemed like something was going on between him and the receiver's coach.
Yeah,
and
right.
They never really talked much about it. They downplayed all of it.
Right.
But it became obvious after the trade that he was a guy who wanted the ball more.
Yeah.
I've said before, I think he was frustrated by what Cooper Kupp was doing in 2021, and he believed with more chances he could be generating those kind of numbers, and he could be the guy that everyone's talking about as the best receiver in football, because he still had career-high catches and targets in 2021, but it wasn't enough.
Right.
Here's what Veach said about when the time came to trade Tyreek Hill and try to improve the defense. It became obvious as free agency started last year, given the way receiver contracts were going up, that it was going to be tough to do both, to keep Hill and improve the defense. There are going to be moments where we have to step out there and do something uncomfortable. No one wanted to lose Tyreek. He's a great player, but if you're going to do something, trust the process and trust how you do things, and don't be afraid to commit to change a year sooner when you have more ability to potentially make those changes work better. And that's really what it came down to. Look, the guy had become a pain in their butt, and they weren't going to call him out. They weren't going to drag him. We only know about it because he said it himself on his podcast.
Yeah, right.
About how unhappy he had become, and he was talking about getting four targets a game, and he wasn't. The facts don't bear that out.
No.
He wanted the ball more, and it put pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and now we have a guy who can just distribute the football and let the game happen and let the offense run
exactly
the way it's supposed to run.
Right.
And hey, I think back to when they're up 21-3. And they got cute
yeah.
with that play to Tyreek Hill at
right.
the end of the half and didn't
right.
score. Remember? And
yeah,
they,
yeah.
Did, yeah.
Right. AFCG throws a little swing route out to the left side
yeah,
there.
Yeah. yeah, like how much of that was
yeah.
Tyreek
let's
Hill?
Let's get Tyreek the
yeah.
ball.
We gotta, instead of, let's come up with a play that works.
Well, to your point, those type of players, when they start to get disgruntled, they add pressure to the organization. It does. It adds pressure on the field, everything. It adds pressure on the sideline. I went through a phrase, I could kind of say this with Brandon Marshall, right? I was with him in Denver 1 year, and, you know, he was arguably the best receiver in football. He wanted the ball. I understood that. I mean, we all understood that. You know, and early on in the game when the quarterback was trying to, you know, Kyle Orton was the quarterback of our football team who did a great job that year. You know, you're feeling the game out. Team's playing you a little differently. He'd come on the sideline, and Brandon Marshall, that is, and he'd be going crazy. Like, you know, you've heard us tell the story before. You know, veins popping out of his neck. Why the F am I not getting the football and everything like that? And we all would feel the pressure on the sideline. You know, to where it would go, wait, we might have been wanted to do this, this, and this on the next series, but because of Brandon Marshall, and he is our best player, so let's not forget that, instead of we were going to do play A to start the series, let's do play B and just get him going right here. And it's tough to deal with that at times. It really is. And I think it took the pressure off of Mahomes and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy through, you know, kind of what you were just referencing. Not always having to call a play where Tyreek's the number one read or come up with plays during the week where we just go, hey, we got to get Tyreek the ball. Now they're just going, wait, let's just draw up plays that we know make sense against this defense. And who the hell cares where, who lines up where, whatever else. And it's made them harder to defend because Mahomes is playing more pocket, you know, precision surgical type quarterback play right now.
And that's where it's a reflection of the culture of the organization
yeah.
because you don't hear and you don't hear about any of the players in the locker room, on the sideline,
nothing
in the meeting rooms, agitating that we're not getting the ball enough.
Right.
I want the ball more. They're
right.
just ready for when the number's called. They understand that Patrick Mahomes is the center of that universe, and they're just happy when the opportunity comes that the ball is moving in their direction, and that's it. They're happy, and they just keep going, and they win.
Right.
And they have guys there that buy into that. It's a combination of creating the culture, but it's also an aspect of having guys
that can,
and this is comes down to scouting.
Yeah.
Guys that are going to be content with their role
exactly.
and not get pissy and
right.
create a problem.
Right. That, and I think that's where they have a great feel for guys that love the game, even though this guy might be a personality and, you know, go off a little every now and then. It still comes back to football, and the guys love football. And Mike, I don't know if you remember this, but here's one of the coolest things, I think, to kind of pinpoint what you're saying here with Mahomes and the camaraderie and everything. And you might remember this from the Andy Reid interview I did. I've never really heard of it to this extent, but the fact that, yes, he had all the receivers down in Texas, they're throwing footballs, and after he gets done every day, he's texting the Kansas City coaches little scouting reports.
Yes.
You know, hey, this guy is good at this. This guy's good at that. We could draw plays with this. I mean, that to me is just, you know, the little clues of a great organization where everybody's on the same page and striving for the same thing, and there's no personalities or egos that are getting in the way of the main mission at hand. And, you know, I think, again, that speaks to what you're talking about, Veach, Andy Reid, and then having guys like Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, who can then bring that culture, you know, into reality with the locker room. And that's where they become a special organization.
One more thing I want to say about the Chiefs before we focus a little more closely on the Eagles. I've thought of this a couple of times over the course of the last week. And I want to be clear. I said this to Tom Curran earlier. This is not a report. This is not rumor mongering. This is just, and I say this about any coach that's been in a place 10, 15 years or longer. I just wonder at what point we're going to be at one of these Super Bowls and it's going to take root that if they win, Andy Reid's going to walk away.
Ooh,
there's nothing
right.
along those lines now.
No,
it's going to be
right.
65 next month.
Yeah.
There's nothing now. This right. isn't anything remotely like Bill Walsh at Super Bowl 23
yeah.
when everybody kind of knew he was retiring
right.
if the 49ers won. But he's going to be 65.
I know. It's crazy.
And at some point, I think he is truly going to want to hand the baton to someone else who can carry this tradition forward for the back nine of Patrick Mahomes' career. But this was the first time I thought about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
is there going to be a Super Bowl win that Andy Reid decides, that's it, I'm good, and I want to be able to give the baton to this guy or this guy, and they go forward for the remainder of Patrick Mahomes' career? I don't think it's this year.
Yeah, right.
But I feel like if they continue to be in the conversation, one of these years is going to be that year.
It's kind of interesting that we don't ever even really, you're right, delve into the topic at all with Andy Reid. It's like we've forgotten how
old
he is.
He's been doing it 24 straight years.
You're right.
Without a break.
He just seems like he doesn't care. He loves it, and it's just not work for him. You know, even when, again, I don't mean to keep referencing the day I was there, but it's just...
You have information from that.
Well,
that's fine.
Well, it just was very relaxed. I never felt like he was like, oh, God, I got to go do this and go do that, right? It's just like, hey, this is what we do, and I got to go do an interview, and then I got to go talk to the team, and then we're going to practice, and I'm going to do another. And he just, there was no stress level. He wasn't, like, pissy with me or the reporters, right? Where, you know, some coaches can be, like, stressed out, and they just want to get things done so they can go back and do their work.
That's a reflection of an extreme level of confidence
right.
that he has in everything they're doing.
Right.
Because you only get stressed out when you're worried, when you're concerned,
yeah.
when you have feeling that things aren't going the way they're supposed to. I'm missing something. I'm not doing something right. We have some weakness we haven't addressed.
Right.
Oh, my God, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to do that? You know, and I think it just speaks to the overall organizational confidence that they have everything in place that they need. And that's the thing. If you're Andy Reid, why stop?
Well, that's, as I said, you sure you want to quit by Patrick Mahomes is still playing, right? He's got his guy for the first time in his career where he's like, wait, this is like, you know, what Mike Holmgren had with Brett Favre. I got a guy here that I just feel like as long as we kind of put a team around him, I'm going to be in the Super Bowl conversation every year. And that's where I'd have a hard time thinking the end of the road is at least anytime near as we sit here right now.
All right. Who knows how much more Mahomes has left. I mean, we see Tom Brady go into his mid-40s. And Patrick Mahomes will.
We know his arm will last
the
test of time, right?
The question is, and if you take away his mobility at all, well, he plays like he did against the Bengals.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Big
yeah.
problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Now, the Eagles this year, 5 years after they won it,
yeah.
with a dramatically different team, some familiar names,
yeah.
but different quarterback, different coach. And Howie Roseman, just the ultimate survivor, he was exiled by Chip Kelly in 2013, sent out of the building, just not even relevant to the football operation, got back in after Kelly was fired, and has really, really established himself as one of the top GMs in the league. And another example of just a guy who knows who to get,
yeah,
how to plug them in. And it's a combination of front office and coaching staff, because the coaches then take those guys and turn them into players who contribute. But they've got an incredibly talented roster. And there was something last week about Jerry Jones saying that the Eagles went all in this year. They didn't go all in. They've set themselves up to be high-end contenders for years to come.
Right. This wasn't we're just going to throw. It wasn't $100 million in free agency and stuff. A lot of these pieces were in place. They just, the phrase I always used to like to say is they just got some sizzle on their team. They got some guys where it's like, okay, we can't always call the perfect play. So, every now and then we just want to throw it up to A.J. Brown and he'll catch it and make a touchdown. Or we'll throw a 5-yard screen to him and he'll run for 70. They got those kind of guys on the team. That's where they went to the next level here.
It's funny though. We got two teams in the Super Bowl. One was the team that traded away the great receiver and took the picks. And the other is the team that said, we're going to go get the great receiver. And even though they did it, it wasn't reckless and it wasn't a culture. It wasn't them picks. It was one move.
Right.
And they got the guy at a good value and he's close friends with your quarterback and it adds to the camaraderie that they have in Philadelphia.
Right.
It was more surgical. With the Rams, it just felt like scorched earth, F them picks.
Right.
With the Eagles, it was like, where are we? What do we have? What can we do? How do we get better? We have an opportunity. Let's get this guy, and it's going to make us better.
I'm with you there, Mike. I feel the same way. Theirs was more like, hey, we're a Super Bowl team, but we're like, if we get A.J. Brown, we're a really dangerous Super Bowl team. They went from Super Bowl conversation to most of us putting them in the Super Bowl game or at least the NFC Championship when they got A.J. Brown. I think that's the big thing. And he was the missing part to their formula that worked. But the way they're running their offense, where Mahomes and Kansas City, they didn't need Tyreek. They didn't. With this offense, the running the football and how good they are in that department, I think they looked at it and said, wait, teams are going to play us in these run defenses, and if we just get a guy that's a difference maker outside, we're almost going to be indefensible that way. And that's where, listen, I could sit here and argue, and I know people won't probably love this comment. A.J. Brown, to me, would every bit be the MVP of the Eagles offense as much as Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's phenomenal for what he's done to their football team. But that was a big-time move, to your point, by Howie Roseman. And their team as a whole, it's about as perfectly constructed of a team as I can remember, really, from top to bottom. There's really not one glaring weakness on their team that we look at. I think running back's the only place I go, they're not like blue chippers there. But everywhere else, I feel like, wow.
But they're good enough. Interchangeable parts.
Right.
Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell.
Great.
Boston Scott. Right. When needed, they do what needs to be done.
Right.
Hassan Reddick was a great signing.
Oh, another one.
By Howie Roseman.
Sizzle.
Three straight years of double-digit sacks with three different teams.
It's insane.
Unbelievable
when
you think about it.
Right.
And he was available to anybody who wanted him. And we know how important that position is. We're often reminded during the Super Bowl of how important pass rusher is, because usually a Super Bowl, not usually, but when we have that realization, it was Denver in Super Bowl 50, it was the Buccaneers a couple of years ago. Oh boy, if you have a really great pass rush, you're kind of hard to beat in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You get there and you'll win it with a great pass rush, and that's what the Eagles have. That's my big concern for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes gets overwhelmed by the interchangeable parts that they have up front,
right,
and he can't get away and he can't buy time,
yep,
that a mistake forced here or there could be enough to open it up for the Eagles.
I'm
and Reddick's a big part of that. We saw what Reddick did.
Right.
He destroyed the 49ers in the NFC Championship by applying a clean legal hit that knocked out their starting quarterback.
Yeah, exactly right. No, I mean, to me, that's a key to the game. If we get up there and we're getting into the fourth quarter and we go, oh, man, the Eagles got five sacks, I'm going to sit here and go, well, then the Eagles are probably going to win the Super Bowl. But if it's at two or three in the fourth quarter, I go, well, then Mahomes has had time. And, they're picking them apart and they got a plan to get the ball out of the hand quickly and they're running the ball a little bit. And I would say that's trouble. But it's certainly one of the big aspects of the game. Another thing that, again, I think was kind of undervalued here is just that, we hit on it last week before the NFC Championship game. The Eagles have a chance to break the 85 Bears sack record in this football game. That's insane. But I'll say this, Mike. I have never seen Andy Reid get exposed by the blitz or being like, oh, no, we don't know how to block a five-man front or a great pass rush football team, let alone they have the studs to do it. And then I think the other thing, that's why this matchup is intriguing, where I said the Eagles are better in totality, but not by so much then. And the Magic Man up here on the poster here wearing 1-5, blitz? He loves blitz. He loves pressure. You want to rush 5 all game long against me and have one less guy in throwing lanes? Sure, no problem. He'll raise his hand for that, I think. So that's the other intriguing part of the matchup, because the Eagles have been killing teams with these 5-man rushes in their pass rush. And now here we are at the team where I go, I don't know if they can kill this team that way. And that's, you know, again, adds to the intrigue of the game and why I can't wait for Sunday.
It was 2 years ago we saw the Buccaneers get after Mahomes with 4,
right,
because he had the turf toe and he lost just enough of his edge where they could track him down. And he tried
both tackles in the AFC Championship game.
Some of the best throws we've ever seen that were incomplete.
Insane.
From him running around in that game and trying his best to just will the Chiefs back into contention. But
had some drops, right?
And yes, absolutely.
Like, where like, we were like, well, they caught it. Even though they were getting outplayed, this game was going to get tight here.
And their offensive line wasn't nearly as good as it is now.
No.
They had a weakness and they addressed it. That's part of the reality of building a team that is a year-in and year-out contender.
Yep.
If you have a weakness, you find a way to devote resources to making it better. There may be some weaknesses on the Eagles' defense. There were some interesting comments from 49ers receiver Brandon Ayuk that emerged over the weekend about this Philly defense. He seems to think that they're going to be exposed by the Chiefs the way that he believes the 49ers would have exposed the Eagles if Brock Purdy hadn't gotten injured. Let's have a listen to Brandon Ayuk from the SF 49ers podcast.
I think the Chiefs, Philly has
Patty,
definitely has
got Kelsey.
They got their hands full. They got their hands full. I don't know fully about that defense. They talk about him being a good defense. I'm not too sure. I'm not sure. I think the pass game, this Kansas City pass game, will expose what we thought we were going to be able to expose before some unfortunate circumstances happen. So we'll see. But like I said, you got to get lucky to win the Super Bowl. And they just got extremely lucky last week. So who's to say they can't do it twice?
They got extremely lucky. And they did get lucky because the 49ers lost their quarterback. Now, hey, we've seen teams get lucky. It's better to be lucky than good sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But good prevails over the long haul over luck. And the Chiefs are clearly good. And the Eagles are both good. And as you said, back to your original point, they haven't been tested.
Yeah, that's
truly tested,
that's
especially in a high-stakes game.
That's right. And you know, I think what Ayuk's talking about there is, you know, that hey, the Eagles are aggressive. They will play some man-to-man and some exotic coverages that way. But they haven't had to play a great offense or a passing attack, really, you know, other than maybe Dallas, right? And I don't think I would put that in great passing attack category, honestly, as far as – so maybe just say good offense. So that's where I think Brandon Ayuk's probably referring to that. And then he also knows, you know, I think another thing is you know, with the 49ers game specifically, I think they knew, wait, they're going to be worried about our run game. That's going to give us some advantageous pass looks. You know, can Kansas City run the ball? And we've seen the weakness of the Eagles all year is stopping the run a little bit. Can they run the ball enough to then where it goes, oh, man, all of a sudden Jonathan Gannon's going, you know what, I got to be a little conscious of Pacheco up the middle and all of that. And then that's going to lead to, oh, man, I got this guy man-to-man, and, oh, no, they're crossing us up and running crossers and pick plays. And that's where, again, I think it can be very, very interesting in this game. And I'm sure if Shanahan had Brock Purdy, they were going to have lots of creative ways to attack that Eagles defense. We didn't get to see it, but it's definitely one of the things I'm most excited about in this game is that Chiefs offense versus Eagles defense.
We'll have plenty more to say about the Super Bowl both later today and throughout the week. We're going to take a break, though. When we return, I guess we're contractually obligated to talk about whatever that was that happened yesterday, the Pro Bowl games. I watched none of it, but I saw enough of it to have an opinion about it. Then again, I didn't need to see any of it to have an opinion about it. You'll hear what we thought about it when PFT Live continues right after this.
All right, it's official. You can't doubt it. I am the greatest coach of the Mannings. I'm so much better at coaching than Peyton's unbelievable. The NFC won. The guys bought in. They played awesome. There's too many good players, and to name an MVP, the whole NFC gets the MVP this year.
That's Eli Manning from the Pro Bowl games, not the Pro Bowl. There is no longer a Pro Bowl, but they call it the Pro Bowl from time to time.
Damn stadium was packed, though.
Well, hey, that's the thing. Whatever they do, as long as it makes money, as long as people watch it, they had the event Thursday night, 1.1 million people watched that on ESPN, whatever it was that they did, I don't know, I didn't watch it. Yesterday I was traveling, even if I wasn't traveling, I wouldn't have watched it. It's not football. I love football, it's not football. Flag football is not football, and I know they're investing a lot in flag football. That's the pathway to the Olympics.
Sure.
They're trying to make football an Olympic sport. Tackle football is never going to get there. They're trying to get there with flag football, so they're embracing this element of flag football in the NFL.
Right.
That's fine. That's fine. It's still not football to me. I've tried to watch flag football. Flag football is not football. Maybe fun to play, not nearly as fun to watch as regular football. It's not football.
No.
So, but we'll see what the ratings were. We'll see what happened. They played the game yesterday. The NFC
sure they'll be good.
Came from behind to win the flag football game, and apparently there's an overall competition where it was the linemen have a challenge, and it was the flag football score, so it was both thrown together. It wasn't just the flag football game. And, it looked like they're having fun. That's great. They have fun. And the fans are there. And they get to see the stars. And I'm sure there was plenty of access. But there's just a fundamental difference between watching a football game and watching guys play something that isn't football.
No, I agreed.
It's not the same.
It is not the same. There's no question. It's not. I don't know what the adjustment was. I do think the week of events and things were, I think, a step up from where they've been. I'll say that much. You know, I did like turning it on during the week and watching some of the challenges. Yeah, some of them are stupid and silly, whatever. But I guess what I get back to is I don't know how else you celebrate the good players of the league, right? And that's what they're trying to do. And that's where I do love the Pro Bowl from that aspect. But, yeah, as we've talked about before, you know, unless they start to raise the pay considerably, these guys, there's going to never be a tackle Pro Bowl football game ever again.
But the winners from this past weekend get more than the losers of the Super Bowl get, which is kind of amazing. It's 84,000, I think,
per participant.
Yeah, so there's money there, and this is all part of the CBA, and it's all been negotiated. Once they decided to take the game away, I thought they were just going to have nothing. But, hey, there's still something they can put on TV that people will watch. And the Pro Bowl itself had gotten to the point where it was an embarrassment. And so much of the coverage was, this isn't real football. And it shouldn't have been. Once we became sensitive to player health and safety, once guys embraced the realities of free agency and want to keep themselves healthy for that crack at the open market, why would you show up for one more game and play hard when you can get yourself injured? We saw what happened to Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
The money's become too big in the sport and in the normal season to risk it for the Pro Bowl.
And more power to them. If they can make money off of it, fine. But I don't care about it. A lot of fans don't care about it, as evidenced by the fact that a week after 50 million tune in for Bengals Chiefs, they'll be thrilled if 5 million. Thrilled if 5 million tuned in for yesterday.
Wait, what are we at with the Super Bowl as far as winning and losing teams making money now? Do you know?
I don't know, but Shereen Williams is going to be on with us soon.
Yeah.
Here, knew right away that the Pro Bowl winners make more than the Super Bowl losers. I don't know. I'm not going to assume anything. It goes up every year. It's a nice little check, but it's not.
It doesn't seem like it's going up with the price of the rest of the league. Right. That's what I'd like to say. That's where my point was. Well, I feel like it's not that much more than when my dad was playing.
It's all negotiated.
Right.
And whatever money is put in that pot is less money that's available under the salary cap. So that's something that's the balance, too.
Uh-huh.
How much more do we pay these guys for a few extra games?
Right.
And take off the table for all players in all games. So I think that's the balance of trying to strike. And by the way, it wasn't completely safe for the participants. I saw a clip yesterday of this gridiron gauntlet where they had the linemen doing it. Looked like the old Superstars contest of the 70s.
Right.
That thing looked like it could entail some risk. And as it turns out, now they're just busting through styrofoam there. But Myles Garrett dislocated his toe.
Man.
On this event. There he is up there. He's going to be with us later in the week. But he dislocated a toe. X-rays were negative. I mean, you're running through his tires. You can twist your ankle. It is not risk-free
right.
by any means.
No, it's not.
That's, again, part of the balance I have to strike between putting on an event that people will be interested in and putting guys at an unreasonable risk of injury at a time when they're otherwise healthy enough to embark on an offseason where they don't have to worry about surgery. They don't have to worry about rehab and recovery. They don't have to worry about how it's going to affect their financial interests. They have gotten to a point where they should be entitled to relax a little bit and not emerge from this All-Star weekend with something else to worry about.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You know, we want the players to care about their team and their career and everything all the time, and then you know, we can't go, well, then ruin your career and your team that you're on just for the Pro Bowl. You can't have it both ways. So I think this was a good experiment this weekend nonetheless for the NFL. They're on the right track. Again, I don't think they're ever going to get to the point where we're going to look at this and go, this is like the NBA All-Star game or the Major League Baseball All-Star game where we just go, this is really a spectacle within the season. It's not. It's a different sport.
But it's still, in the past, it has drawn more people by far than the NBA and the MLB game.
It's crazy. So, and I would expect that to happen again this weekend. So hopefully they continue to toy with it, play with it the right way. And it's always good to see the stars of the game all in the right, you know, in the spots and getting a little notoriety.
That's going to be the real test.
Yeah.
Really. And the numbers will come out at some point today. The ratings for the Pro Bowl flag football / whatever they were doing versus real action,
right.
Hockey, baseball, right. Basketball. I still assume that the NFL experience will have drawn more. The other news out of the weekend.
Hey, we've gone 4 hours without talking to Aaron Rodgers,
yeah, this
so we
is
gotta
it.
Bring
this
it up.
It now.
Oh, okay. I was
this
gonna say
it.
If we haven't talked about Brady or Rodgers, I don't even think we should have the Super Bowl shouldn't count this week. It's been like 4 minutes. And gosh, we can't go without the new news breaking Brady Rodgers moment here.
Well, hopefully there's no news on Brady. Hopefully he's still retired.
Yeah.
Although that would be a hell of a week if he changes his mind that fast. We don't know where Rodgers is going to be for 2022 or 2023. We know where he was in 22, but we didn't know a year ago either. Now we don't know. And this Raiders thing is starting to take on some steam. Here's Devontae Adams, Raiders receiver, and Josh Jacobs, Raiders for now, running back, from the weekend on the possibility of Aaron Rodgers wearing silver and black in 2023.
Would I be interested in having Aaron Rodgers throw to me?
Yes.
Yes. I would love that. The trolling, you know, I'm first team all troll, so don't take none of that too serious. But I would love to have that, and obviously that'd be a dream scenario, one that I'm very familiar with. But anything you've seen on Twitter, that's not a tale of anything. That's just wishful thinking and messing around a little bit.
Of course, I mean it's A-Rod. You feel me? Like it's Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, man, he's a dog. I mean, if he was to come over here, I mean, I feel like that would change the aspect of a lot of things.
Devontae Adams has been very active on Twitter. He will like different tweets that link Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, and people will read things into that because we read things into what people do on social media now. But he made it clear he's just a troll,
right.
And he reacts to things, and it's wishful thinking. Look, the Raiders have to decide, first of all, that they want him.
Yeah.
If they want him, are they going to pay him $60 million for 2023? That's what his contract calls for. And they can restructure it, but it's still $60
million. Yep.
Whatever the cap charge, it's still $60 million from Mark Davis's bank account into Aaron Rodgers at some point this year.
Right.
Then what do you got to give the Packers to get him? Are you going to give two first? You're not giving two first-round picks for a guy that may play 1 year. So do you do a contingent package where it's based on how many years he plays? And I keep going back to Brett Favre. 2008, when he was traded from the Packers to the Jets, they got a fourth-round pick that could have become a first-round pick, but he didn't reach the performance levels to get there. It was a fourth-round pick.
Right.
So I don't know what the Packers expect. I don't know what they have a right to expect at this point. If Rodgers wants out and a new team is taking on a guy who may only play for one more year. But that's all part of the analysis. If you're the Raiders or any team trying to figure out, do I want this guy? It's not just do I want the player or the person.
Right.
It's do I want the financial commitment? Do I want the draft pick commitment?
Right.
And, you know, we talked about this last week. Josh McDaniels and Aaron Rodgers does not seem to me like peanut butter and chocolate, the old Reese peanut butter commercial where they accidentally get got your peanut butter and my chocolate. No, I don't think it's going to go that smoothly with McDaniels and Rodgers.
I'm with you there. That would be the first thing I would say. That just doesn't seem like a match made in heaven, in my opinion. You know, the other thing too, Mike, you kind of broached on this a little bit.
Broach is
right?
Good. You were there. Your instincts were right.
Thanks
for a change.
I just get the feeling that the Raiders are in this for the long haul with McDaniel and Dave Ziegler. I don't think it doesn't look like to me, and again, I know I argued this with you a little during the season, it's just if you're going to have McDaniels, Dave Ziegler do the Patriot way and build a team that way, it's not going to get done in one offseason. It's not. You got to let the beauty of them finding value in free agency and in the draft really come to fruition to build their team. And I just got I just would be shocked. I got the feeling that that wouldn't be their cup of tea, to all the reasons you kind of just explained.
And that's why the Devontae Adams trade was so weird last year, because it didn't fit with what we thought they were trying to do on the way in. So the whole thing has seemed odd. But you're right. They need a longer-term answer, not a guy that's going to be there for a year, maybe two. Most.
Right.
And how competitive are they really going to be? This isn't Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers, where you've got a clear path to the postseason. You've got Patrick Mahomes in your division.
Right.
You've got Justin Herbert in your division. You've got Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. And, hey, there's a chance it was Nathaniel Hackett that was the problem last year, not Russell Wilson. There's a chance the Broncos are going to be good this year.
Sure.
Who knows where Aaron Rodgers and the Raiders would fit into this mix. I'm just surprised. I think part of this is, too, kind of an impishness from Rodgers, who enjoys the attention, and that's fine.
And at
that's
the golf tournament, everybody's saying Raider stuff, so
and
I think it's
He's getting a kick out of
that.
Yeah,
right.
But I think at the end of the day, I remind myself of last year when I think he seriously thought about leaving for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett under the assumption that Rodgers was going there.
Right.
And he just ultimately decided, I'm not ready to leave. And that's the other thing to remember. This is a guy that I think craves familiarity.
I would agree with you.
How is he going to go to a new city, new coaching staff, new teammates, new everything?
And he's not the sheriff. He won't be the sheriff of the town. I think you're exactly. I'm with you there too. It just does not seem like his type of thing. Totally new system. Totally different way of, you know, running a football team than he's used to. And he won't be the God King like he is in Green Bay, where he can just say, "No, I want to do this play. I want to do that play. I want this player. I want that player." That's not going to happen. That's where I don't see it either. That, to me, is where then I go back to the Jets, because the Jets, to me, have some pieces in place that it'll be familiar to them. Nathaniel Hackett, of course, being there. And I think a way of them doing business kind of just fits him more than McDaniels and the Raiders at this point.
I'm still
fascinated. And nor do I think $60 million says anything. I just don't think Josh McDaniels and the Raiders coming from New England, $60 million for a quarterback does not seem like their kind of thing.
And they're running Derek Carr off because Mark Davis doesn't want to pay him $40 million. $60 million is a lot for one of the owners that isn't among the richest in the sport. I keep going back to the recent comment from Aaron Rodgers at this same golf event. He won it over the weekend, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, with a guy whose name I can't remember if I ever knew it in the first place. Sorry, I'm just not a golf aficionado.
You're not a golf guy, right.
But he said, no San Fran. And it's that, if we're looking for a stacked deck, that's the stacked deck. I still think he doesn't want to go somewhere and run the risk of not finishing the deal and introducing the narrative that it's not the Packers' fault they haven't been back to the Super Bowl in 12 years. It's his fault.
Right. You went to the Niners and
you're supposed
to
win
it
all.
Look, they were great,
what happened?
And you didn't win it all.
What
it must
happened?
Be you. It must be you.
They got to the NFC Championship with Brock Purdy, and they didn't even get to the playoffs. So they lost in the wild card round with you because you got tight, like you've seen and you've observed. Not me, him. And, not throwing the ball into
tough
spots.
Trigger,
being too careful, being too aware of the magnitude of the consequences of losing. I think he's aware of the magnitude of the consequences of going to the 49ers and not winning a Super Bowl, because it will be viewed as a failure, and it will be viewed as he's more of the reason for the Packers' failures than the Packers. I think he's just going to stay in Green Bay.
I think
he's going to stay again.
It does seem like, though, the first year where I feel like Green Bay, it does feel like, and again, I don't have any inside info here, but it does feel like Green Bay is secretly weighing their options.
They saw Jordan Love.
Right. They got to be doing that. And those conversations have to be starting now. That's where, I know Rodgers last week was like, it seems like these conversations are going on without me. They got to get some sense of a feel here. They're not going to just go, we're not going to talk to anybody until Rodgers gives us an answer. No, they're trying to lay some framework down in case.
If this guy tells us he doesn't
want
to play, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
Where are we going to find a market for him?
Exactly.
And they don't want to trade him to an NFC team. But Rodgers has the hammer. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but he does. Because if he says, I don't want to play for insert name of team, they're not going to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's take a break.
Look at Scotty Zolak.
We got him.
You're the man. My guy. Yeah. I will.
Middle of a live show. We've got Shereen Williams.
It's the Super Bowl,
Simmons,
baby.
Joining us next, we're going four wide here on the desk to talk more NFL, more PFT Live from Phoenix. Look at that cacti.
Don't bring that Aggie up here in Shereen
cacti.
Williams. No Aggies.
More PFT Live right after this.